Well, if you have your Bibles this morning, you can open them up to Acts chapter 23. We're in a new chapter of Acts. Today we're actually kind of jumping back into our series through Acts. We took a little break as after camps and all that. My wife and my family, we went on vacation. And so we kind of took a little break while I was gone from Acts. 2 weeks ago, Lynn, one of our women's ministry leaders, shared just a great word on forgiveness and did an awesome job. And then last week, I actually played a video, something I don't do very often. I've only done a few times here. But it was a powerful message on God moving mountains in our life. And so if you missed either of those messages, I would encourage you to go back and to listen to them online and just allow God to speak to you through those great messages on forgiveness and moving mountains. But today we're gonna look at the first part of Acts chapter 23. If you remember, because it's been a little while, we took some time off here, and so if you remember back in Acts 21 and in Acts 22, Paul had returned to Jerusalem, but things didn't quite go the way he had planned or had hoped. When he went to the temple, you may remember some of the Jewish leaders, they made some assumptions, right? And they made these accusations against Paul of things that weren't really true, things that he didn't really do. And so these Jewish leaders, with their accusations and their lies, they stirred up many people in the temple courts, causing a riot. A riot kind of took place. These people got so irate that they were actually going to kill Paul. They were ready just to tear him to pieces. And they probably would have if the Roman commander hadn't shown up, right? The Roman commander shows up and kind of stops everything. And you may remember then that Paul asked the commander if he can speak to the crowd. This crowd that had just tried to kill him, Paul still tries to share the gospel with, right? And at first, they began to listen to him, you know, as he begins to kind of tell where he came from, that he's much like them, and as he begins to share the gospel. But as soon as he started talking about taking the gospel to the Gentiles, which are non-Jews, which many Jews believe should go to hell. I mean, honestly, that's what they believe, right? That they are of the devil, they are not clean, they are wrong. And so when he started talking about taking the gospel to the Gentiles, the crowd began to go crazy again. And so the commander actually had to take I put Peter here, but I meant Paul. All right, I had to take Paul into the barracks away from this angry mob, right? And that's kind of where we left off. And at the end of that, of 22, it said that the commander had planned to whip Paul, to flog him, except then he found out that he was a Roman citizen. And he knew that he couldn't hurt Paul if Paul hadn't been found guilty of a crime. And so the next day, he ordered Paul to stand before the chief priests and the leaders of the Sanhedrin. And the Sanhedrin was basically the Jewish court. Okay, had to stand before the Jewish court. And so that is where we are as we pick up here in Acts 23. And so if you have your Bibles, you can follow along with me as we read verses 1 through 11 of Acts 23. This is what it says. It says, Paul looked straight at the Sanhedrin and said, "My brothers, I have fulfilled my duty to God in all good conscience to this day." At this, the high priest Ananias ordered those standing near Paul to strike him on the mouth. Then Paul said to him, "God will strike you, you whitewashed wall. You sit there to judge me according to the law. Yet you yourself violate the law by commanding that I be struck." Now those who were standing near Paul said, "How dare you insult God's high priest?" Paul replied, "Brothers, I did not realize that he was the high priest, for it is written, 'Do not speak evil about the ruler of your people.'" Then Paul, knowing that some of them were Sadducees and the others Pharisees, called out in the Sanhedrin, "My brothers, I am a Pharisee, descended from Pharisees. I stand on trial because of the hope of the resurrection of the dead. When he said this, a dispute broke out between the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and the assembly was divided. The Sadducees say that there is no resurrection, and that there are neither angels nor spirits, but the Pharisees believe all these things. There was a great uproar, and some of the teachers of the law who were Pharisees stood up and argued vigorously. "We find nothing wrong with this man," they said. "What if a spirit or an angel had spoken to him?" The dispute became so violent that the commander was afraid Paul would be torn to pieces by them. He ordered the troops to go down to take him away from them by force and bring him back into the barracks. The following night, the Lord stood near Paul and said, "Take courage. As you have testified about me in Jerusalem, you may also or must also testify in Rome." Now, Paul stands before the Sanhedrin here, and if you remember, all the way in back in chapter 7 of Acts, if you can remember, that was probably about a year ago, all right, that we were in that, but all the way back in chapter 7, Stephen stood before the Sanhedrin, if you remember, and they were the ones that gave the order. The Sanhedrin gave the order for him to be killed. Paul was there, right? He was part of that decision to stone Stephen, to take Stephen's life. And now Paul, the tables are turned here, now Paul finds himself in front of the Sanhedrin. And he's facing the same possible outcome that Stephen experienced. They very well could have taken his life. They had the ability to do that. And Paul knows this. But as he begins to share, he does not waver in what he knows. He doesn't waver in what he believes in who God is and how his life has been changed. He continues to be a witness for his Savior, Jesus Christ. If you remember, that's what we're called to be, right? To go into the world and to be my witnesses. And as I studied this section of Scripture, there were a few things that stood out to me about Paul and his witness for the Lord. And so I want to take some time this morning to look at these things. What can we learn from Paul in these Scriptures about being an effective witness? And I think the first thing is this. An effective witness seeks to live life in good conscience, and in good conscience to the Lord at that. It says in verse 1 that Paul looked straight at the Sanhedrin and said, "My brothers, I have fulfilled my duty to God in all good conscience to this day." Paul grew up in a family of Pharisees, of religious leaders. And here's the thing, even when he was killing Christians, if you remember, he did it because he believed he was defending God, right? He believed that he was defending God. And now that he came to know Jesus and came to understand the truth of who Jesus was, he did everything in his power to live a faithful life for Christ. And so when I talk about living a life of good conscience, because someone can hear that and go, "Well, hey, wait a minute here," because people can have a good conscience about doing something that isn't right, right? And so when I say that, that's why I say in good conscience to the Lord. And so when I talk about living a life of good conscience, I'm talking about doing everything we can to live a faithful life in Christ, according to His Word, according to what He's called us to do. Because there's a lot of us that we're like, "Oh yeah, I'm a Christian," but yet we don't open up the Word and really see what it says and means to be a Christian. And are we really living those things out in good conscience? God's desire is that we would live a faithful life for Him. And unfortunately, because of the fall of man, we are born with a sin nature. There is a sin nature inside of us. It's the reason that Jesus came and died on the cross. He knew that we couldn't overcome that sin nature on our own. We need Him. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. But because of that sin nature, we're often compelled to do things that go against the will of God. We are compelled and drawn to the things of the world, often more than the things of Christ. But God has called us, if we call ourselves Christians, if we have said yes to Jesus, God has called us to live life differently. Paul was a man that lived life differently. We've seen it throughout the book of Acts. He did everything in his power to live his life for the Lord and in accordance with his will, with God's will. Paul was one that didn't just talk the talk, right? He walked the walk and he lived his life to the Lord in good conscience. This is one of the things that I believe made him an effective witness. Because when people saw Paul, they saw a life that was dedicated to the Lord. They saw a person who was truly living out what he said he believed. He didn't just say one thing and live his life another way, which happens a lot in our world, right? There's a lot of people that say, I'm a Christian, but they live their life this way. Totally opposite of the way God would desire us to live. Paul lived in good conscience. He was dedicated, truly living what he said he believed. There are many people in this world that claim to be Christians. But are they really doing their best to live the life that God has called them to live? For a lot of people, it's just fire insurance. Yeah, I'm a Christian. I don't want to go to hell. But you see, God doesn't want us just not to go to hell. God wants us to love Him and to live the life that He's called us to live. Are we living life in good conscience? Are we being an effective witness? Are we drawing people to the Lord? Or are we pushing people away? Because there are many people that go, that's a Christian? I don't want anything to do with that. Where then there are others that are like, that's a Christian? I want what they have. None of us are perfect. And let's just be real. We talked about that earlier in the midst of our service, right? None of us are perfect. We're all going to fail and make mistakes at times. But the question is, when we peel back the layers and we get to the heart of things, are we striving? Are we trying to do our best to live faithful lives for Jesus? Because there are people that were raised in the world and they come to know Jesus and they continue to make those mistakes. But in their heart, they don't want to. In their heart, they want to live their life for Jesus. And that's what I'm talking about. Are we striving to live our life for Jesus, to be faithful? Are we living in good conscience, knowing that we're doing our best? We're not going to be perfect. We're going to make mistakes. But are we doing our best to live for Him? You see, even Paul messed up at times. We see it right here in these scriptures this morning, which kind of leads me to my second point this morning, which is this. An effective witness admits their mistakes. In verses 2 through 5, we see an encounter between Paul and the high priest. It said, after Paul had spoke, at this, the high priest Ananias ordered those standing near Paul to strike him on the mouth. Then Paul said to him, God will strike you, you whitewashed wall. You sit there to judge me according to the law. Yet you yourself violate the law by commanding that I be struck. Those who were standing near Paul said, how dare you insult God's high priest? Paul replied, brothers, I did not realize that he was the high priest, for it is written, do not speak evil about the ruler of your people. In these scriptures, Paul makes a big mistake as he insults the high priest, Ananias, something that was a definite no-no for Jews. You don't do that. And so Paul, he quickly responds, right? He quickly responds by pointing out that he didn't know it was the high priest. You know, pointing out, hey, I'm sorry, this was an accident. I didn't know it was the high priest. And I know that what I did was wrong. He says, to do this is wrong. He admits his failure. Now, the interesting thing is I studied these verses There were a couple different opinions on how Paul could have made this mistake. So like, how did Paul? Paul was a part of the Sanhedrin before. How could he have made this mistake? Now, some think that it had been so long since Paul was a part of the Sanhedrin. When I did my studies, I think it's like, it's been about 20, 25 years as Paul has gone out and missionary work and those kind of things. It's been a little while since he's been a part of the Sanhedrin. And some believe that he didn't know that Ananias was now the high priest at this time. There are others who believed, and it's known that Paul, or at least was thought, that Paul had extremely poor eyesight. And so many believe that maybe he didn't realize who it was that had actually said those things. He didn't realize that it was the high priest that had spoke up. And we don't know how Paul made this mistake, and it really doesn't matter. Either way, the reality is he messed up, right? And he knew he messed up. And so he quickly admitted his mistake. And I believe this is a great example for all of us. We need to be real and we need to be honest when we fail. I know that this can be a challenging thing. My wife's not in here this morning. She's downstairs. But if you ask her, I don't like to admit when I'm wrong. Okay? I like to hold true and think that, no, I was right. You're wrong. I don't like to admit it. But there's something powerful that happens when we admit our mistake. I was talking about that this morning in the midst of being real, right? There's a couple things that I think happen. One, I think when we admit our mistakes, I think, one, it makes us real, right? It allows people to see that we're human and that we're not afraid to admit our failures, because people aren't attracted to perfect know-it-all Christians. Can I just let you know that? People aren't attracted. There's a lot of people that act. You know, these religious leaders and Sadducees act as if they were these perfect religious leaders. People aren't attracted to the perfect know-it-all Christians. They're attracted to people who are real. People that they can relate to. People that make mistakes just like them. The second thing is this, is it can often diffuse a situation. When we admit our mistakes, it can diffuse a situation. It can even allow others opportunity to forgive us when we admit our mistake right there on the spot. You see, it's hard to be a witness to people who are upset at us, right? It's hard to witness to people when they're sitting there going, I don't believe a word you say because you messed up and you're not going to admit it, right? It's hard to be a witness to people when they look at us and all they see is hypocrites. You know, what's the biggest thing people say about Christians? They're hypocrites, right? Because we so often don't admit our mistakes and admit our failures. An effective witness understands that they're not perfect, right? And is open and honest with others when they fail, when they make mistakes. We saw Paul do it here in this scripture. The next thing I saw in these scriptures is this. An effective witness respects others. Respects others. At the end of verse 5 it says, "For it is written, do not speak evil about the rulers of our people, or of your people." Paul was very quick, we just talked about this, quick to correct this mistake out of respect, right? The respect for the high priest. This is much like what we saw back in the Old Testament with David and Saul, right? How David respected Saul as king, right? Even though Saul was wrong. And the same is true here. Paul knew he needed to respect the high priest, even if the high priest was wrong. Now, the main principle we see Paul abiding by here is that we should respect those whom God has anointed or put in places of authority, right? And we can all learn something from that scripture. Let me just say, I'm not going to speak on it today, okay? When it comes to authority and people in places of authority. However, respect is really something that we should attempt to show everybody. That we should show to all people, not just people in places of authority, not just people that are above us. We should respect everyone. And I believe that is how Paul tried to live his life. He was respectful of people. Every person in this world, listen to this, every person in this world was created by God. And beyond that, my scriptures tell me that they were created in His image. That's not every Christian was created by God in His image. Every person in this world was created by God and created in His image, which is why we should respect and value all people, that we should value them as human beings, as God's creations. And yes, are there horrible, awful people out there? There are. We've seen it in our world. Are there people who sometimes offend us and say things that hurt us at times? Yes, they're out there. Maybe we've been those people to others at times. But the thing we have to realize is that Jesus died for everyone. He didn't just die for the good people, right? Because none of us were good to begin with. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Those that are still sinners, Christ died for them. He died for all of them. And as His witnesses, we're called to love and to respect all people. It kind of goes back to what you've heard me talk about before. This right to be heard. You've heard me talk about this before at times in messages, the right to be heard. We earn the right to be heard when we respect and value people. Right? Because if someone respects you and values you, doesn't that make you want to listen to them or to give them that right to be heard? But if we rudely march into people's lives, showing no respect for their thoughts or feelings or where they've come from, then it's unlikely that we'll have any effect on their lives. Except for maybe a negative effect. Right? I talked about, are we drawing people to Jesus or are we pushing people away? We don't have to agree with everything people do or how they present themselves at times. But we do need to be careful in how we treat them. We don't want to be the ones that push them away. Doesn't matter if it's a person of authority or if it's a person out on the street, a homeless person. Doesn't matter what status they are. Everyone deserves respect. And the more we respect others, the more effective we will be as witnesses, as His witnesses. Now, the next thing I saw in these scriptures is this, the fourth thing. An effective witness is led by the Holy Spirit. I want to look again at verses 6 through 10. It says this, "Then Paul, knowing that some of them were Sadducees and the others Pharisees, called out in the Sanhedrin, 'My brothers, I am a Pharisee, descended from the Pharisees. I stand trial because of the hope of the resurrection of the dead.' When he said this, a dispute broke out between the Pharisees and the Sadducees in the assembly. They were divided. The Sadducees say there is no resurrection and that there are neither angels nor spirits, but the Pharisees believe all these things. There was a great uproar, and some of the teachers of the law, who were Pharisees, stood up and argued vigorously. 'We find nothing wrong with this man,' they said. 'What if a spirit or an angel has spoken to him?' The dispute became so violent that the commander was afraid Paul would be torn to pieces by them. He ordered the troops to go down to take him away from them by force and bring him into the barracks." And so here in the midst of the Sanhedrin, Paul references Jesus' resurrection, right? And the resurrection of the dead. Now again, if you've saw in the scripture, and if you're not familiar with some of the differences between Pharisees and Sadducees, one of the big ones is their belief in resurrection, being risen from the dead. Like when Jesus comes back, or when God would come, that people would rise up from the dead. And so there was this big difference of opinions. And the Pharisees believed in resurrection, the Sadducees didn't. And so when Paul references resurrection, it causes a dispute among these religious leaders, which in all reality, I believe, as I look at these scriptures, saved his life. It saved his life. Because remember, this is the Sanhedrin that Paul is standing in front of here. It's the Jewish court. And if they had all been in agreement, like they were with Stephen, right? If they had all been in an agreement, they could have had Paul killed. They could have had him stoned just the way that they stoned Stephen. But because of this dispute, because of this uproar that takes place, the Roman commander removed him and took him into the barracks. Now the question is, what caused Paul to ask this question? What caused Paul to say what he said? Now, I'm going to take some liberties here, okay, as a pastor. But I believe, and I think we can see it from the Scriptures, or we can see it through Acts, that Paul was a man who walked in the power of the Holy Spirit, right? We've seen that. He listened. He heard God. He walked in the power of the Holy Spirit. And I believe the Holy Spirit was the one who led him to say what he said in that moment, in that time. And I don't think it was just some ploy, right? I don't think Paul was like, ooh, hey, there's Sadducees and Pharisees. I can start this argument here. I don't think it was some ploy just to rile up the two sides. There was some strategy here, because if you look at the end of verse 9, some of the Pharisees actually say this: we find nothing wrong with this man. What if a spirit or an angel has spoken to him? Whoa, what happened here? All of them wanted to kill Paul, right? All of them wanted his life taken. But I think Paul, through the power of the Holy Spirit, was actually appealing to the Pharisees here, knowing that they believed in resurrection, trying to help them connect the dots, because they serve the same God, right? But they just didn't believe in Jesus and the resurrection of Jesus. And so Paul is helping them put the dots together. These people who had been trying to kill Paul, they seem to change their tune. And the reality is this only happens through the power of the Holy Spirit, right? We can say all we want to say, and I've told people, you will never debate someone into loving Jesus, all right? It's the power of the Holy Spirit that draws people to Jesus. And I think there are times when we speak up and say things, and in reality, we should shut our mouths. It's true. I remember I was at the Dream Center, and I've shared this story before about we went out and did these random acts of kindness. We're giving lemonade to people on the streets in L.A., and I'm thinking, when they told us what we're going to do, I'm thinking, we're doing what? I would not take lemonade from anybody on the street in L.A., right? It's like, what's in the Kool-Aid, right? You know? But this is what we're doing. And I'm thinking, seriously? But I was amazed as we begin to hand out this lemonade. People are like, oh, thank you. I'm so, you know, and it's this lower income area. And people are just like, oh, thank you. I needed that. I need that. Thank you. Thank you. And I was like, wow. And so we're doing this. And me and two of my youth guys, we come up to this one guy and we said, hey, would you like some lemonade? He's like, oh, no, man, I'm just not feeling good. I'm just not. And I'm like, oh, is anything we can do? I don't know, man. And he begins to share his story with us. And we just, out of this, we just said, well, can we pray with you? Yeah, man, that would be great. And so we began to pray with him, and we just began to love on him and just began to talk with him and hang out with him. And we were earning the right to be heard, right? And this guy, we just began to have this conversation and these relationship with one another. And we exchanged phone numbers, and we were going to try to get him into the Dream Center. We're going to try to connect him. And the interesting thing, so we begin to come back down to where the other groups are, many different groups and youth groups and different things were a part of this, and there was this other group there. And we come back with him, and this person immediately attacks him. Well, do you love Jesus? Have you given your life to Jesus? And just like gets in his face, and I'm like, whoa, back up here. And he all of a sudden got defensive and started to get angry and like was ready to leave. And here we had just developed this relationship and this connection, and all of a sudden these words of this person speaking out when they should have just shut their mouth began to change the circumstances in this with this guy. Now, thankfully, we controlled things, and I've still had connections with this guy. Believe it or not, about 6 months ago, I get a call from him on the phone. Hey, is this still Darren, man? And hey, you know, and so I helped him out with some things, but I've just got to minister to this guy off and on throughout the last, it's been about 9 years now that I've minister to this guy throughout, off and on, through this connection and this relationship. But here's this person that almost ruined that whole thing by speaking up and being, you know, judgmental in this moment. And so there are times when we just need to be quiet. But I also know the opposite is true, that there are times when we're nervous and stay silent, but God's doing something in us. And it's those times, that's the Holy Spirit, when we got to be willing to step out and say those things that we need to say. And so it's that balance. It's hearing the Holy Spirit, allowing God. Sometimes we keep quiet, and other times we speak up. The key is that we're listening to the Holy Spirit, that we're seeking the Lord and allowing Him to guide us. I believe that's what Paul was doing. We don't want to make things happen on our own, but when we allow the Holy Spirit, lives are changed. Like we saw these Pharisees all of a sudden begin to change their tune. Kind of leads me to my final point this morning is this. When it comes to hearing the Lord, an effective witness draws encouragement from the Lord. In verse 11 it says, "The following night the Lord stood near Paul and said, 'Take courage. As you have testified about me in Jerusalem, you must also testify in Rome.'" And it says there, I love that the Lord stood near to Paul and said, "Take courage." How many of us would love to have the Lord stand near and to whisper in our ear, "Take courage," right? Now, I'm going to take some liberties here, but that's because I know enough about Paul to believe that he heard these words from the Lord, because he was taking time to be with the Lord. He was taking time to seek the Lord. The truth is, if we've given our life to Christ, then He's with us wherever we go, right? If we've said yes to Jesus, He's not only Emmanuel, God with us, He is God in us, right? The Holy Spirit is in us. And so if we've given our life to Him, then He is in us. Jesus told His disciples in Matthew 28:20, "Surely I am with you always." With you always. In the Greek, you know what that means? Always. In the Hebrew, you know what that means? Always. He's always with you. All the time. Everywhere we go, "I am with you always to the very end of the age." But even though He is with us, we have to make an effort to be with Him. God is there. He is always there, always with us. But we have to make an effort to be with Him, to draw near to Him, to draw near to His presence. We have to take time to listen and allow Him to speak those words of encouragement to us. Paul continually heard the Lord, right? He continually talked in His scriptures about how the Lord said this and the Lord says that. He continually heard the Lord, and he was an effective witness because he took time to be with the Lord. He sought the Lord out. And so the question we have to ask ourselves is do we take time to be with the Lord? We live in a crazy, fast-paced society right now. It will take up every second of your time if you allow it to. Are we pulling back? Are we taking time to be with the Lord, to seek the Lord and allow Him to encourage us, to strengthen us, to give us the words that He wants us to hear? An effective witness draws encouragement from the Lord, and we do that by making Him a priority, by making it a priority to be in His presence, whether that's through prayer. We all need to have times of prayer with the Lord throughout our day, numerous times. We need it. Whether that's through reading the Word, we all need to open up our Word at times, because that is the life. God shares with us His truth through His Word. Maybe it's worship, just taking time to worship, to be in His presence. Whether that's in church, we worship here this morning, it's good. And I know there are many times where the Lord speaks to me right here as we're worshiping Him. Whether it's in church, whether it's at home, whether it's on a mountaintop, God is with us always. Doesn't matter where we're at. What matters is that we're seeking Him, right? What matters is that we're growing in Him so that we can be the effective witnesses He's called us to be. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for Acts. We thank You for Paul and his life. Lord, here is a man that went through so many things, Lord, the ups and downs, the good times, the suffering, the challenges, Lord. And in it all, he did his best to be an effective witness for You, Lord. We thank You for the example that he is to each and every one of us, Lord. And may we learn to live that example. May we learn, Lord, to live these things out in our own lives. Lord, what are those things that You want to speak to us today, Lord? We're all at different places in our journey of following You. That's the thing I love so much about You, Lord. We're not all the same. We're not all these robots just going around doing what You've called us to do, Lord. We're people that You desire to have relationship with, and that You're meeting us where we're at in the different places and stages of life that we're in. And Lord, You give us what we need for those moments. And so, Lord, out of this Word, I just pray that You would speak to us. What is it that we need to hear this morning? What is it that You want to speak to us about being an effective witness? How can we grow in our relationship with You to be who You have called us to be, Lord? To not be what the world has called us to be, but Lord, to live differently. Lord, to do our best to live the life that You've called us to live with all good conscience, Lord, knowing that we're doing our best to honor You. And so we just, we give You these things this morning. We give You this Word. May we walk out of this place different than we came in, Lord. May the things that You've spoken to us today challenge us, encourage us as we head out of this place to be the people You've called us to be. Lord, may we take time throughout our busy week this week to be with You, to be in Your presence, so that we may walk through the power of the Holy Spirit, that we may hear Your voice, know when to speak, when to be quiet, Lord, that we'll know these things because we've drawn near to You and allowed You to speak in and through our lives. So we give You these things. We thank You and we just praise You for them. In Jesus' name, amen.